joining us right now. Hey, Jason, can we get this thing up? We got a special guest coming over and sitting down with us. It's Shawn Michaels, the Falcons, hanging out right next to us all week long. I just want to say to start out, we apologize.
See, I was going to say the same thing. Our station is known for being loud, a little outlandish. Saying sports is kind of the underlying theme of what we talk about. And
right.
We talk about everything else. And, you know, with the amount of beautiful women that are walking around here, sometimes we get distracted, to say the least.
A little bit. Let me ask you this. You guys talk, like you said, sports is kind of the umbrella, right? Mm-hmm. How are you handling politics these days? That's a big topic.
Yeah.
We don't touch politics.
and what I mean by it's a big topic, duh, politics are a big topic. What I mean is it's a big topic within the sports talk radio industry.
Impossible.
What sports shows trying to figure out, do you touch it, do you not, mm-hmm. stick to sports, et cetera. So you guys go, we're your safe haven.
Yeah, unfortunately in Atlanta, the second you say anything, things go sideways. California, you guys are a much better state.
Well, have you seen the real estate prices?
Well, other than that,
right.
You guys are more open to opinion. In Georgia, it's you're going to be this way or we hate you. And unfortunately, I'm not on the side of we're going to be this way. So typically, once we start talking politics, they hate us. Now, they hate us for a lot of other things.
Sure.
But I'm okay with that. You want to hate me for my sports opinion, that's fine.
Right.
I don't talk politics because, quite frankly, I don't care.
Right.
Well, you know, obviously, being in Sacramento, very close to the Bay Area and everything that kind of went down with Colin Kaepernick this year, that was one of the things where it's like you find it's a hard balance to kind of cover it, but
you feel
not
like
cover
you're swinging and missing if you just talk about it and don't offer any sort of opinion.
So how did you guys cover it? I mean, from a point of view outside of Sacramento, outside our bubble.
Yeah, we had to cover it because it was such a big and national story, but it was a situation where we were just like, okay, here's where we stand on this. I didn't necessarily have a problem with him taking it. Because my thing was, you're going to take a stand, and you want to be a man and take that stand, stick to your opinion.
Yeah.
And he did, and I was fine with that. I just didn't necessarily agree with taking a knee and not standing for the national anthem. Because how special that is. I'm lucky enough to travel with a team, and I see the emotion that, you know, comes over some of these guys, depending on who's singing. You know, they'll start singing the national anthem. We've got players shedding tears because they may have had family members that have fought for the country. So I thought there was a different way he could go about it. But you know what? He took the stand, and at least it got people talking about some of the real issues that are going on in this country.
Well, yeah, and he continued to back it up, too. I mean, that's the most important part. And that's kind of hey, well, here can be your politics thing. We're not really going to do that. But like Tom Brady, okay, you know, he is going to deflect anything and everything. But he knew damn well that that red hat was sitting in his locker right at camera level.
Yes.
He knew that.
Right.
And for him to now not allow himself to be held accountable, just answer the questions, dude.
Right.
And you know, this isn't 2004 or 1996 or something.
Right.
Like, this is now a very big thing. And if you're going to do that, you got to be able to say, here's why I believe it. You don't have to agree with me, but I'm going to own it.
Yeah, and I'd rather a guy own it. You own it and you say, this is the side I'm on, fine. I can agree to disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to respect what you do on the field on Sunday. Hopefully we beat him. But I can disagree with where his political stand. But just be a man and own it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that won't. They'll own it when it's convenient for them.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels joining us. Case.
Got a hand signal. I was going to throw a tutu cutter here.
Katie's hanging her hand signals.
Yeah.
Mitch, go ahead.
No, actually, I wanted to talk to you about the game on Sunday. What is it like for your listeners, the fans right now? What is the feeling in Atlanta?
Best feeling we've ever had.
Yeah.
I moved to Atlanta in 1998. I'm a native South Floridian, and you know I equate both of the sports towns kind of the same. Miami's an event town. When the Heat are great, they're sold out.
I know,
and
man.
It's $10,000 tickets. They stink right. Well, they've won 9 in a row, but they typically stink right now. And now you can buy tickets outside the arena for like $1.
Yeah.
Atlanta's a lot the same way. When the Falcons were doing well, and I've been on the sidelines 6 years. My first 2 years were in the playoffs, 1 year in the NFC title game. You couldn't get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go 4 wins, you go 6 wins, you go 8 wins. And, okay, people start going, oh, fine, we'll sell them to Packers fans and Steelers fans. This last probably 8 weeks has been the most bananas I've ever seen in the city. Now, you lose to Kansas City, you fall to 7-5. Matt Ryan throws two crushing interceptions to lose the game. And people immediately, oh, same old Falcons, same old Matt Ryan. Here's the crap
that's
we're going to get.
Sports fans, man. It's just
ridiculous.
Is.
And they start, and I'll tell you the ridiculous conversation we had in the offseason. There were people that were texting during our offseason going, let's start Matt Schaub. I can't make this up. We haven't kicked off game one. Let's tank right now and go get Deshaun Watson. Got a $100 million quarterback who's one of the top eight or nine guys, and this year he's one of the top one or two. But now, right now, everybody's on board. We had a rally. Flowery Branch is about an hour north of the airport. So we get on our buses in Flowery Branch and drive down I-85 through the city, go to the south side of the town, and go on the airport. There were a couple hundred people at Flowery Branch. Mind you, Flowery Branch is out in the middle of nowhere. People standing out in the cold, screaming, everybody driving in there, honking their horns and whatnot. So it was pretty cool. We leave there and going down 85, there's folks hanging off the interstate holding their Falcon flags. There's people hanging out of the cars, which I don't recommend, but they were doing it anyway. And then we go through a little downtown area called Atlantic Station. And there was probably 25,000 people
that's
there
crazy,
decked
man.
Out, dang. Screaming, cheering, dancing. So the city is absolutely bananas right now.
So, all right, as John Michaels joins us, he does Sideline Reporting Falcons Radio Network right here in busy week for you, too. With the Super Bowl, you'll be on the sidelines this Sunday.
Yes, I will.
Doing all that crazy stuff. I want to ask you about, you're from South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, go Noles.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's enough of that.
I mean, the man has a Miami Heat tattoo on his arm.
I've been noticing
I've got
that.
The orange.
Oh,
oh,
wow.
Yeah. The ibis over here.
That's
yeah,
beautiful.
You is back here, yeah.
Do you have white right anywhere? believe me, I
look, when you lose to
that.
A team seven times in a row, yeah. I can't say much right now. I just go, oh, man.
Yeah, but I think I've counted about three, maybe four rings that we might have a little bit more if it wasn't for you guys' goals. Goalposts and pretty good teams, I guess.
Yeah, not bad.
Atlanta, from an outsider perspective, Atlanta gets a rep. I think part of it's deserved as kind of a not good sports town. The crowds.
It's a college town, right?
Yeah.
It's really a college town.
Is it undeserved? What's the dynamic of the sports fans when we see half-empty arenas and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of buzz a lot of the time for the other teams? Is it deserved or do they get a bad rep?
Some of it's deserved.
Sure.
Like I said, when the team loses, they're not going to be there. Now, the Falcons season tickets, I think they were 11th in attendance this year. They sold it like 99% or 98%. So people were showing up. The team's good. I think the most hardcore allegiance in Atlanta is to college athletics.
Yep.
We're right at the crossroads of the ACC and the SEC. I mean, yesterday I asked you guys, we're doing a segment we're on Radio Row. I've got Hall of Famers sitting down, and we were talking college football recruiting.
Wow.
That's how important it was. We had Kirby Smart on, Georgia's head coach, and people are nuts because they had a top three recruiting class. So your main allegiances, I mean, Georgia's going to get 95,000 on a Saturday, and it doesn't matter if they go 7-5 or they go 11-0.
Sure.
Auburn fans drive 2 hours down the road to go see their team. University of Tennessee is 3 hours up the road. Alabama's only about, I don't know, 180 miles away. So you get all of that, and that's where people, if they're going to spend disposable income, they go to. But the Falcon fans and the Hawks fans, they love their team. It's just when you have one championship and I think 146 combined seasons, people are just waiting for something bad to happen. And unlike Chicago Cubs fans who don't care,
right.
They were the lovable losers and all that, they'll show up and be there. Falcon fans go, you know what, it's 80 degrees, I'm going to go to Piedmont Park, I'm going to hang out with the kids, and I don't care on a Sunday afternoon. It's different right now. We've got people texting us, spending $2,500 for tickets to sit in the 600 level to come see them.
Man, is there part of you, though, that this whole run with the Falcons where you are waiting for that other shoe to drop?
Me, no. I maybe it's because I'm too close to it.
Yeah.
I waited for that in 2012. I kept going, man, I don't know if this team's good enough. Because we won a lot of close games in 2012. You know, it's a six-point game here. It's a field goal at the buzzer. They beat Seattle in the playoff round and on a field goal at the end to win. This year, they've been kicking the crap out of teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to the playoffs. I tried to get the hashtag going, cocky Falcon. I said, stop being afraid. Oh, big bad Russell Wilson's coming. And we kicked the crap out of him. Oh, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's the hottest quarterback in the world. He's Michael Jordan. And we kicked the crap out of him.
Sure.
I'm not afraid of New England.
Careful now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
Careful now about my Packers.
Falcons.
So I got Packer fan. I've got a Noles fan. Come on, who are you cheering with?
I'm pretty basic, man. I'm a Niners fan, so my life is hell.
Yeah.
but I can take you back to 2012.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's one of those moments right there where that's kind of where I was with the Falcons all years. Mm-hmm. I keep waiting for that to happen. And that's because I'm not watching 16 games.
Right.
They're different this year. That's what everyone seems to say that's around the team.
They're peaking at the right time. I mean, since the bye, their points per game given up is down almost a touchdown and almost 8 points. They were giving up 28 a game before. Now they're giving up 20. The offense is literally the greatest show on turf 17 years later. Yeah. And some of the metrics are even better than where they were then. So they're peaking at the right time. Matt Ryan is playing MVP football. I mean, what he's done in the playoffs is flat out outstanding. And there's so many weapons. If you take Julio away, there's Sanu and Freeman and Coleman. It's a team that if they lose on Sunday, it's not going to be because the other shoe dropped. It's going to be because they got beat on a better day by a better football team.
92.9 The Game and Falcon sideline reporter John Michaels joining us. John, the good news is as we wrap up here, now that you're next to us all week long, and now that you've been on, we have the Jiffy Lube snack station here, which is your
nice
guest. Now you have free reign for the rest of the week to come over
that
and grab whatever the hell you want.
I need these mints after a night out last night.
Yes.
So does this guy, man.
Most popular snack we have.
You know, I started the week really well.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I'm going to be professional. We're not going to do it. Sunday, I stayed in. Monday, you know, I was in bed by 10. Tuesday, and I've got friends that live in Houston. They're, oh, we got to get out. And it was 1 a.m. And last night, it was 2 a.m. And that 6:30 wake up, I'm going, man, for you guys, it's got to be great. You're a morning show, and this is actually sleep in for you.
Yeah,
it is.
No,
8
it doesn't
a.m.,
make any difference.
We just stay up later. John, we appreciate it. Thanks. Good luck this weekend, my man.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're late for a break. We'll take that break right now. When we come back, Brandon Lang joins us on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.